Welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities mining in the junior resource sector. And Mickey, I see that your beloved St. Louis Cardinals are doing a heck of a lot better than my Toronto Blue Jays, the injury-riddled Jays, last place in the division. And you know, this team began the season with a lot of hope. Your Cardinals right now doing okay, though, at the time of this recording, 10 games over 500. Are we going to see a repeat of the win this year for St. Louis, do you think?
Well, it's hard to know, but I would certainly predict they'll be in the playoffs. They've gone through tremendous injuries this year, but mm-hmm. They have a lot of young guys contributing now. They don't have to play in the American League East like the Blue Jays do.
Yeah, well, Blue Jays certainly in a tough division, that's for sure. Some say perhaps the toughest in baseball. Let's move on to the topic of your choice, though. Bit of a head-scratcher for me, Mickey. I found this one a little bit tough to get a firm handle on. We're talking about magnesium. I believe it is the eighth most common element in the Earth's crust. You've done your homework, though, probably a heck of a lot better than I have. So fill us in from here. Tell us about its characteristics, the history. When was it first discovered, that kind of thing?
Kind of a preface here. We will say that we're going down the periodic table in group two, so that's the alkaline earth metals. So we've already done beryllium, so we'll skip that for now, and we're down to magnesium. Mm-hmm. It's number 12 on the periodic table, which means it's very lightweight. It is the eighth most abundant in the crust, but it's the fourth most abundant on Earth, and it's contained mainly in the mantle. Composes 13% of the Earth's mass, so it's quite abundant when you think about how lightweight it is. Mm-hmm. It's also a big component of salts in seawater, third behind sodium and calcium. And it never occurs as a free metal, and we'll find that out with all of these alkaline earth metals. Highly reactive, but unlike the alkali metals to the left in the periodic table, it is stable in air, but it burns brilliant white. Now I'm going to digress a bit and give our listeners an anecdote.
Okay.
I grew up in a very small town in the Ozarks of Missouri, and one of the main employers was an aluminum window factory, and they always, like aluminum window, will always be a aluminum magnesium alloy, as is a beer can. Mm-hmm. During the Vietnam War, it was converted to making rocket launchers, this factory. And at one point, the magnesium stockpile caught fire, and it lit up the sky all the way to Joplin. And most people would have heard of Joplin, Missouri last year, 30 miles away. And these magnesium fires, it's so flammable and so reactive, you can't put them out unless you cover them with dry sand. So they just had to let this fire burn out for over the course of a couple of days.
Great story. Something you're always going to remember.
Absolutely. And I was actually coming back from Joplin, Missouri that night that it started on fire, and we saw this glow in the sky. And mm-hmm. had no idea what it was till we got to the hometown there.
Okay, a glow in the sky in the Ozarks. That can be a little frightening, can't it? You know that
well,
better.
They also have a thing there called the spook light, and that's one of those lights that no one has ever been able to figure out where it comes from. So,
okay.
Whatever.
Okay, well, let's move the clock along to how magnesium is used today, the alloys and whatnot. In some of my research, and correct me if I'm a little bit confused on this, Mickey, you know, we will see aluminum, and you mentioned aluminum, we'll see aluminum mentioned in the same kind of story when we're talking about magnesium. So can you make the link there at all and clarify things?
Well, it's used in alloys a lot. So a mag wheel is mainly aluminum, although it has magnesium in it. So anybody our age, Rob, that had a muscle car in high school knows what we're talking about there.
Mm-hmm.
It's also used, the element, the metal that is used in die casting with zinc. It is used as desulfurization in iron and steel, so removing sulfur, which is a bad component from iron and steel. And we've also mentioned this before, it's used in the Kroll process to produce pure metal titanium.
The big producer, once again, is China. Does that present any sort of a problem at all? You know, when we talk about rare earths, there's always that wonder in the back of people's minds whether or not we'll get enough rare earths from China, since it controls the lion's share of this stuff for the world. What about magnesium? China, the big producer there.
Well, it is, and it actually has for the production of pure magnesium metal, which I should mention is minor use of magnesium. Magnesium is used mainly in compounds, but China production capacity exceeds current world production. World production is fairly small in terms of tonnage, 800,000 tons. China has the cheapest prices, and the U.S. has initiated anti-dumping regulations against China. It's illegal to import magnesium from China at this point. The U.S., we mainly get our pure magnesium metal from Israel, primary production, Canada, which is scrap production, and Taiwan.
What really stands out in your research of magnesium compounds?
Well, the thing that stands out, and I knew this before, is that magnesium compounds are the most important use of magnesium, and something on the order of 20.4 million tons per year. So we're talking magnesium. If you add the metal into it, that's well over 21 million tons per year, and that exceeds copper production. So this is a major metal. It's mainly obtained from olivine deposits, which is a mineral that is very high in magnesium. It's also obtained, increasingly obtained, from seawater brines, wells, inland lakes. The main U.S. producer would be the Great Salt Lake in Utah. We also have production from olivine in Washington, from magnesite, which is magnesium carbonate, from a dried saline lake near Gabbs, Nevada. So we have a bunch of different sources. The U.S. is dependent about 53% for magnesium compounds, about 35% for magnesium metal. So we're okay in this, and we're certainly, although China dominates production, we're not dependent on China.
Hey, Mickey, you said that annual production on a global scale for magnesium compounds weighs in at about 20.5 million tons. How is all that stuff used today?
The majority of use would be with what's called dead burned magnesite. And you essentially take magnesite minerals and you burn off all the CO2 and you make magnesium oxide. And that's mainly used in refractory bricks. So any kiln, any furnace is going to be lined with a brick that contains significant amount of magnesia. We also, when we talked about graphite, sometime within the last 9 months or so, we did a show on graphite, and we talked about how the main use of graphite, especially synthetic graphite, was in steel making, and much the same, you need to have refractory bricks. In fact, I was at a cement kiln yesterday. We'll have a video of that soon, and I got to look in the kiln, and it's lined with magnesium brick. So that would be the main use as refractory bricks. Magnesium salts are very important. They're used as food additives, fertilizers. Magnesium is an essential mineral for all life. It's the main metal in chlorophyll. It's absolutely essential for all life on the planet. Magnesium carbonate uses drying agents. There's a couple of kinds of magnesium oxide. There's refractory and then what they call caustic calcined magnesium oxide. It's used in water treatment plants. Magnesium hydroxide is used also in water treatment plants, flame retardants, So all in all, the compounds are what's really important, and this is a major metal in terms of its demand and use on the planet.
Okay, a major metal. Metal, in fact, you said earlier that it's basically right up there with copper, you know, global annual production topping 20 million tons, Mickey. What about from an investing angle? Is it easy to play this for a retail investor? I mean, it's easier for me to go out and buy shares in a copper company. What about magnesium?
Rob, I think it might be something that a junior could be involved in. With most of these olivine deposits tend to be relatively small. The other source would be brine lakes. If you're producing potash from a brine lake, a magnesium would also be one of the products from that brine lake. So it's with the current demand for magnesite, the U.S. anti-dumping provision against China, it might be something that would be satisfactory for a junior to get involved in.
All right, well, let's end it there, Mickey. When are we going to talk again? And I ask because I think, if memory serves correct, you are about to embark on an extensive road trip.
I am. I'm actually going to Europe on a four-company, four-country tour. Interestingly enough, Rob, I will be in Dresden, Germany in 10 days. And if you of our generation, Slaughterhouse-Five by Kurt Vonnegut was a very famous novel at the time. If people will remember their history, the city of Dresden was firebombed by the Allies at the end of World War II, and the bombs were made out of magnesium. So it all comes kind of full circle there. Yep. I'll be gone for a couple of weeks, but when I get back, we'll hit calcium, which is the next one on the periodic table. And again, it's going to be one of these where the use is not going to be of the pure metal. The use is going to be limestone, calcium carbonate. I told you I was at a cement plant yesterday. I was at, and that is a limestone quarry. So we'll talk about calcium, another major metal that is critical for modern day civilization.
Okay, good stuff. Mickey, looking forward to it. You travel safe and have a good time in Dresden.
Well, I'm going to, and Stockholm and Helsinki and Santa Claus Land on the Arctic Circle and Spain. So very much looking forward to this trip.
Okay, the life of a nomad. Take care, Mickey, and we'll reconnect in a few weeks. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.
That's Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. You can always hear Mickey's latest opinion on mercenarygeologist.fm and at kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.